Okay, so we're holding here in Simin Shin Tezayin Dine Tzeda, Sif Zayin. And we're discussing the halacha of Tzad. I should just mention, as a side note, that Tzad is unique in that there's no flip side. You know, there's Kosef and Mochek. There's Bona and Soser. There's no Isser to free an animal. The Isser is just to catch an animal. In fact, there's even a discussion, if you violated Tzad and Shabbos, maybe you have an obligation to free the animal, which is interesting, because I'm not sure if that's true by other malachas. I mean, if a person does Borer, is there a mitzvah to throw back, you throw back the you revive, or not? It could be there's Isser Hana sometimes on what you, from what the malacha you did, but I don't know if there's an obligation to Meshachar, in general, an obligation to undo what you did. Here, Dafka, there's an opinion that there's a, not only is there no Isser to Meshachar the animal, it's not the opposite of Tzad, but in fact there might be an obligation to Meshachar the animal after you trapped it. Okay, so we're holding here Sif Zayin had Sad Nechashim B'Shavis Sharu Masim Hamazikin. So if there are snakes or other things that could hurt you, Imler Ful Chayit. So if you catch them because you want to use them, once upon a time, and even today, I think the Far East, they sometimes think that the venom is somehow, has medicinal properties to it. So you're catching the cobra to use the venom. So then it's already a deraisa. Again, to be deraisa, I mentioned, I think last time, there are really two requirements. First of all, it has to be mino nitzor. It has to be something that people actually catch. So maybe in India, people catch cobras. In most, in America, people don't catch cobras. So it wouldn't be mino nitzor. And then it has to be tzichel guf. You have to actually want it. So in India, if you catch a cobra because you're afraid of it, that would still be drabana. You need two tonight. It has to be a bino nitzor, which is called talo in the makom. And then it has to also be l'tzarech gufa. If you want to protect yourself from the snake, that's mutter. So even though we say that generally there's a malach shichel guf, it's aser drabanan. So if you catch a snake, not to use it, but to protect yourself, it should be aser drabanan. But since snakes are dangerous, Chazal waived aser drabanan, and we allow one to catch a snake to protect themselves, even if the snake isn't poisonous. They're different. A lot of people have this misconception that all snakes are poisonous. There are many snakes that are not poisonous. In fact, in Israel, there's a law that you're not allowed to kill snakes. I only know this because there was a snake in front of my building. They called the Iria. You know, if there's a dead cat, you call the Iria. They come, they pick it up. They clean it. There's a snake. He said, so call him Lokeid Nechashim. I was like, what's a Lokeid Nechashim? It's like a snake trapper, catcher, whatever. And that's their job. So one of my neighbors ended up killing the snake. And then somebody came out screaming at them, no, it's against the law, and it ruins the whole ecosystem, and the whole... But again, I'm not sure how common it is, but it depends where you live. You know, I live in the city, but if you live near the forest, whatever, it's more common. In any case, so like I said, a nachash might not be deadly. It might not be poisonous, but it's still dangerous. It still hurts, and therefore you're allowed to trap it on Shabbos. Now, the Mishmur here has a discussion about the Shittas of Rambam. The Rambam holds the Malchashay Tzvichel Gufa is actually Chayev. It's Machlokas Tanaim, Rabbi Yehuda. So the Rambam passes against most Rishonim. Malchashay Tzvichel Gufa is Chayev. So the question is this halacha true for the Rambam? And it is. The question is why? So Mishmur has like a convoluted type of explanation that it's not really the malacha. I can look here. If you understand it, let me know. I mean, it seems like it's like a definition of what the malacha is. It says here in Sif Katan Chafzayin in the middle. Why is it misasim? You're catching it. If your intention, it seems like the intention is part of the definition of the malacha. If you're protecting yourself. You're not trapping. You're not trapping a snake. You're protecting yourself. How do you protect yourself? You trap a snake. So that's called misasim. It's an interesting getter, but not so clear on. Yeah, that's what it sounds like, right? But he's trying to explain why that's not the case. Additionally, when you do catch, let's say, a wasp in your sukkah, so you're allowed to catch it to protect yourself. If you're allergic to wasps or to bees, it's coconut. Even if not, you're just going to get stings. It's going to be painful. You're allowed to do it. Mishmura sounds like you put a kli on it. I saw in one of the modern Sfarim, Simcha Burim Cohen, he says it's dafka kli. You can't use a trap. You have to trap it in a makeshift type of way, but you're allowed to catch. Again, I don't know how easy it is to catch a snake in a makeshift type of way. They have these professional snake trappers. So, but apparently, the Silva Kolm argues that you should only do it in a makeshift type of way. You shouldn't do it with a kli miyuchad. I'm not exactly sure if it's so meduyak in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says you should use a kli, but does it mean you can't use something else? I'm not 100% sure. Fine. Moving on to Zivches. Shmon and Shratzim Amurim Metara. So we know the Pesukim tell us in Sefer Vayikra there are eight types of Shratzim that have a certain Toma associated with them. And, you know, sometimes people think that these are like little insects. These are actually rodents, bigger types of animals. So these animals are Tzadim Chayiv. So like any other animal, if you catch a turtle, so if you want to use, for the sake of a turtle, you're Chayiv. So there's a halacha. This is touching on a different halacha, the halacha of shochet. We know that you can't kill on Shabbos, and drawing blood is also a toldo of shochet, adam hua nefesh. And therefore, if you draw blood, you're chayav mishum shochet. Now, what happens if you give somebody a bruise? When you give a bruise, halachically speaking, the blood separates from the muscles or from the whatever it is, and it goes under the skin. So that's halachically considered shochet. So these shratzim have or, and therefore, if you would hit them and draw blood in such a way that you created a bruise, you'd be chayiv. But other shratzim, you have to actually see blood. They don't have skin. So like all these animals, if you catch them for your usage, again, provided that's also mino nitzar. But if otherwise, it's pater al aser. The Rambam Chayiv, here he quotes the Rambam that who disagrees with the concept of Malacha She'ein Tzricha Legufa. He thinks that there's no Ptur of Malacha She'ein Tzricha Legufa. Okay. I should just mention on a side note, one of the Shmona Shratzim is a Tzav. Now, if a Tzav is a turtle, turtles go fairly slowly. And this touches on something I think I mentioned last time, that Rishon Zalman argued that if something is a very slow-moving animal, a sloth, so it's nisiv omei. Just like a person has an animal that is domesticated, so we don't consider it to be, well, you don't catch it, you call it, it comes to you. So an animal that's very slow-moving, it's like it's already caught. It's equivalent, let's say, of an animal that's sick or old that can't run. So this can run so slowly, so it's very nitzav omit. So the big kasha on that sheet is the Tosas Rid. Someone passing that with the halacha. The big kasha is that tzav is also a slow moving animal. Like probably different types of turtles. Some turtles are slow moving, right? The tortoise and the hare. So I guess some of them are the tortoise is slow moving. So I'm not sure how much of a riot it is from the story, but okay. In any case, there are slow-moving turtles, so l'chora, how can you be chayv on tzad? So this is a discussion that some of the chorim have, and they say, maybe our turtle is a different turtle. Okay, you always never really know. The same issue applies to chilazon. The classic case of tzad is that they would capture the chilazon. Now, there is a big discussion what the chilazon is, as I'm sure you know, but those of us who were tcheles assume that the chilazon is this snail, the Murex trunculus, something like that. And it's a snail. A snail moves very slowly. And it's fair if you're tzad chilazon, you're chayiv. So maybe someone will say, oh, it's a rye, it's not the right chilazon. That's what some people will say. Others say, no. It doesn't live on the ground. It lives like in the sea. You have to like get a boat and get a snorkel and go down. So of course you're chayiv on tzad. The fact that it moves slowly, it just means that if it's right in front of you and you don't have to do anything, so you're not chayiv on tzad. But if you have to, you know, spend a few hours capturing it, even at the end of the day when you get close to it, it's not going to run away, it's still an iser of tzad. So I think it makes a lot of sense. That's not such a kasha on this, the murex as being the it would be tzad. You have to spend, you know, a lot of time. It's not the idea that Rishon Zalman, I think, was presenting is that if it's like on your hand, so it's a yisiv omei. Like it's on the ground, it's like on your hand. I should mention also that many insects are actually very quick, like ants. You know, not all insects are slow moving, but if you have a slow moving insect, so then it's yisiv omei.
Yeah. Ask the question: then what does it get exactly of tzad? Like, what is it considered captured? Like, let's say it's a ladybug in my house, and I find it in the middle of Shabbat. Like, now is that considered?
So we discussed last week, I don't think you were here, but there are two definitions. If something is like in a very close area, that we could capture it without having to rest. So I assume a ladybug in your house probably would be that way. But let's say if it was a cat in your house, that wouldn't be the case. A cat, you'd have to run around for 5 minutes. So a cat would have to be a smaller area. A ladybug, again, You see, there are really three categories. There's, you know, a confined animal, there's a semi-confined animal, and there's a totally open. So I don't think anybody's going to say it's usher to close the door to this ladybug in your house, because it's such a big area, it's not really confined at all. The fact that it can't, you know, go to the park, it's a ladybug. You know, but, you know, you have to figure out the exact shear of the size of the room. But if it's semi-confined, you know, I don't think people look at a ladybug in the house as being confined. They look at it as not trapped at all. But a cat in the house is confined. It's not confined very well. It still requires a lot of effort to actually catch it. A cat in a box is confined well. That's already derisive. A cat in the house is drabanan. You know, so closing the door with a cat would be a drabanan. Closing the door with a ladybug, I don't think anybody looks at it as being nitzod, and therefore we don't consider it to be...
But the case with the turtle, though, the status is on the animal.
I mean, the animal that's slow moving... Oh, you're saying a ladybug is a slow-moving animal? So maybe a ladybug's a turtle. I think.
No,
I think
can there be a status on animal and almost regardless of the space?
Yeah, 100%. Even if a turtle is a slow-moving animal, you can take the turtle that was in the Wild West and you can bring it into a small box. And there's no answer. That's what Rosh Hashanah argues, because it was never really... It was always nitzar, because you could have went and taken it whenever you wanted. It would never run away from you. It's never... Now, I'm arguing that's different than... The chilazon, where it's not nitzod, you have to do something to get it. You have to, you know, go to the sea. Yeah.
I'm just talking about myself. You go to someone's house, the dog's domesticated, but a bit rambunctious, and people are scared of the dog. It's totally fine to put them in the room because they know their name.
We're going to get to at the end. Basically, if the dog is already, it's the last sif in the simen, hopefully we'll get there today. If the dog is fully domesticated, so then it's totally fine because it accepts the authority of the owner. If it's a puppy that hasn't been trained, it's more complicated. Okay, fine. I'll just mention Derek Agav, since we mentioned the malacha of Shochet, of drawing blood. So there are there's treatment to this different places in Shulchan Aruch, but just be gadol. Most of it's in Shin Chav Ches, which deals with Dinei Refua. So we're not going to discuss all the details now. But for example, let's say a person has a scab. So taking off a scab, you know, if it's going to draw blood, it would be problematic. Or you know, if you want to floss your teeth, if there's a secretion, when you floss your teeth, you have bad gums. So then that would be a problem of shochet. Doing a blood test, you know, obviously would be a problem. even sucking blood from, let's say, inside your mouth, you want to suck the blood, that would be a problem of shochet. Again, well, you draw on it, but still. So again, it mostly comes up simen shin chav ches, but it just mentioned here, so I wanted to just agav mention it. Okay, moving on to this test, the Mechaber speaks about other insects that are annoying. They're not dangerous, they're annoying. Parush hanikra barugut veloshan arav also letsuda elim kain huva basara of oksa. Let's say you have a mosquito. So you can't kill a mosquito. A mosquito is really super annoying. But if the mosquito is biting you, you can like flick it off. You can or catch it. I mean, it seems like ideally you should flick it off. Here it says it's also letsuda elim kain huva basara of oksa. The Mishnah Berurah says even if it's not actually biting you, if it's like under your clothing, if it's like about to bite you, that would be also permissible. So here we're not, it's not that this is dangerous. Again, I should mention, some mosquitoes are dangerous. If there's like a virus going around, like the West Nile virus and things like that, the mosquitoes are actually very dangerous and much more dangerous than like tigers and lions. Many more people die every year because of mosquitoes or because of the viruses that they transmit. But most of us don't live in Africa, and like the last time there was West Nile virus Nile virus in Israel was like 20 years ago. So if you don't live in a place where there's a chashash like that, so you can't, you know, rely on the heter of killing the mosquitoes. But you can, if it's biting you, it's already on your body, you can flick it off or even trap it. It seems like it's an Issur Drabanan, and Ramakum Tsar Lagazer, even though it's not like a high-level tsar, like a bee bite, but they were matirs. But if it's just annoying, let's say you have a mosquito in your ear, you're sleeping in the sukkah, there's a mosquito bothering you. So that tsar is not enough. It's interesting. There's a difference between tsar guf. I would have thought misfara, there was a difference if it's a psychological tsar, like it's buzzing your ear, or it's biting you. But Rosh Hashanah Zalman, interestingly, in Micha Shlomo, argues that there's a difference between tsar guf, and it's supposed to be like tsar nefesh. Again, I don't know what the psychologists would say about this, but the claim is that a psychological tsar, or like a just annoying tsar, is not the same as a physical tsar. And we will only allow you to trap or move the bug. Again, you can like wave it away, but you can't actually trap it if it's not biting you. He has a raya from the halachas of Sreifa B'Shabbos, if there's going to be if there's a fire. So usually it's a pikuach nefesh, you put it out. But it's very unique circumstances. You wouldn't be allowed to put out your fire, even if your house is going to burn down. Again, it's not really shaykh today in our day and age. But if we live in, like, in a place that's isolated and there's no concern or anything, there's no pikuach nefesh. So a person can pull their hair out. You know, it's a tremendous amount of tsar. And we still tell them to, they shouldn't put out the... It's only malachat rabbanon to be b'chabe, ain't shtichel gufa. So he says, you see from there that tsar is not the same. Physical tsar is different than, you know, emotional tsar of having your... being annoyed or having your money lost, etc. What's interesting is that in Shterach Agav, that there's a din of chomesh, that a person is supposed to spend up to a fifth of their assets to do a mitzvah's essay. And if it's more expensive, they're potter. So a person is penniless, they don't have a chiyuv to buy tefillin because it's too expensive. So the poskim there actually say that it's not just a question of money, it's also a question of tsar. If the mitzvah is so painful for you, they would be willing to pay a fifth of your assets not to do it, it's a mitzvah's essay, so you're potter to do the mitzvah's essay. That's a different gather. Here we're talking about doing an isser. Even though it's Isher Rabbanan, we tell you, don't do it even though it's Makom Tzar, which is very interesting. In any case...
Were Gozer Makom Tzar in this case, or were not
Gozer? They were Gozer Makom Tzar Hakuf. It's before Rishon HaChaber, right? You have this little mosquito biting you, and you can catch it. You're allowed to catch it, but you're not allowed to kill it. It's interesting. We allow the catching, we don't allow the killing. why is that? In any case, the Mechaber here is a fascinating, it's a famous piece in the Mechaber. First it says, Avaloyim alenu v'yada shem yargenu, you shouldn't like move it. Elitlenu v'yada, you can like just flick it off. Avalkina muta laharga, fascinating. V'chaber, people like Torah Umad discussions, you have to kill a lice bug. So why is that? So the Gemara says that lice bugs, they generate spontaneous generation. Now, I think it was Louis Pasteur who proved that that's not the case. Meaning, it used to be you'd see like a spoiled fruit, and suddenly you see like these little worms coming out of it. So they thought, oh, maybe it's spontaneous generation. So there is no such thing as spontaneous generation. The fly laid an egg there. So there is a discussion, halacha l'maisa, so should we be choshesh for the halacha of the metzias that we know today? Or we say, no, the Gemara says it, it's still mutter. So here it's a very interesting hashkafic debate, to what extent you look at mada as being significant. So there are some poskim, surprisingly to my mind. Listen, the Gemara says mutter, it's mutter. Now there's someone who want to touch it up. What the Gemara means when it says spontaneous generation, it just means the way they reproduce is different. It's not nikar, and then you can like justify it and have your kicking in it too. It's not that we're putting our heads in the sand. Some poskim will just put their heads in the sand. Others say, no, of course we know that scientifically, but even chazal knew, it's just all they meant was that the way they procreate isn't nikar, and therefore it's different. Rav Tendler actually assumes this way. Rav Tendler has an article, one of the first Torah Maggid journals, he discusses this issue. So he says that, you know, people think there's a contradiction between Torah and science, but usually it's because there's a lack of knowledge of Torah or of science. And in most cases, it's both. That's what he writes. You know, his personality was like very... Now, I don't think that's true. I think there are stiras between science and halacha. But in any case, the question is what to do with it. So one way of saying it, you could say our kinim are different. You know, or nishtana ateva. These are like very... Or you could say, listen, they procreate in a different way, and therefore it's mutar halachli. The other approach is saying, no, let's be machmir. Now, the danger with that approach is that could I still be mekel when the halacha, like, you know, how much belias are there in my stainless steel silverware? So let's have one set of silverware. Shalom Yisrael, you don't taste, you know, the chicken when you eat the spaghetti and noodle and cheese with the fleishik fork. So there are possibly people who will sign off on that, but very few. Meaning most people are very, so to say, oh, only l'chomer, not l'kula. So that's an approach. I mean, Rilchasi thought that was the ikker, that you should be machmir. But from there to being Mekel, you know, you can rewrite Shulchan Aruch. So I understand why Posgim are a little hesitant. But anyway, this is an interesting halacha. Now, just to get the Mechaber straight, Hamachla Begadim Bikinim Lo Yehargim. So if you're trying to clean your clothes from lice bugs, you shouldn't kill them because you're concerned that you might also kill other bugs. Because in the Beged, you have other types of bugs. Now, in your hair, the only thing that grows in your hair, apparently, are lice bugs. So you can kill the lice bugs in your hair because you're not going to accidentally kill the flies. But if you're cleaning your garment, so then don't kill the lice bugs, you might come to kill the flies, etc.
Did they just like, have flies all
the time? It would sound like the levels of hygiene were very, very different.
Can
you
consider flies?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I apologize. What do you say? I think that the fleas are... I think that you can't kill them, yeah.
What is molon?
Like you can like... move them with your head, like you can pick them up and like go like this, move them away, like, you know, mola malilos, like when you take the wheat and you kind of like rub them together, so you can like take it off and rub it and move it away. Okay, so that's also what I had there. We're allowing muksa because the fly is muksa, you're allowed to do that, but you're not allowed to kill them. Okay, Sif Yud. So the Chaver says, "Kol chay v'remesh ein nishnoshim v'misin vade." If you have a dangerous animal, the hagi b'shabbos, then you can kill the animal. I feel in ratzin achrav. Even if the animal is just in the corner, you have a boa constrictor in the corner, so you can kill it. You have a lion in the corner, you can kill it. V'shar mezikin kol nachash v'achrav. If you have an animal that's not necessarily lethal, makom she'ena v'misin im ratzin achrav v'tzlagav. But if it's running after you. So you have I don't know, a snake. It's not lethal, but if it's running after you, it might kill you. The im lav also doser. If a mutter l'darzel if you people be scavenging. You're allowed to walk on it and kill it. You know, something this happens in Israel with scorpions. I have a daughter who studied in Malé Adumim in a dorm school there, and she said like, yeah, you walk outside, and like there's scorpions, like, you know, certain times of year. So she had to like even in her dorm room, she had to like clean out her shoes, make sure there are no scorpions. You know, it's like pretty wild. I mean, they have, you know, ways of dealing with it. They, you know, they have to hire a good exterminator. But if you did it, you have this. So the halakha is you're allowed to walk on these types of animals.
We said in Sif Zayin that you can trap them, right?
You can trap them. Here you can even kill them. There was just animals that were just slightly like painful, meaning like a wasp. Or a bee, you know, that's different, right? Here, I think it's more where that says the
Yeah.
It's
consistent, right? You can trap them, and you can't kill them unless they're running after you, right?
Say that again.
You said you can trap them, which is fine because it's a rufa.
Right.
Whereas here we're saying that killing them, I guess that is tzarich l'gufo. Because that's the point of killing. I don't know.
No, it's all, you want to use it. It's
so
only if you want to
use
it.
The difference in Zion here?
There you couldn't, I think. Just a second. Where were you quoting from?
Zion. Oh, I'm in the tour. Oh my gosh.
You're in the tour. So I'm a little confused. I was wondering where. Okay. In my Zion in the Shulchan Aruch, it says, Zion Chachi B'Shav B'Shav B'Vazim, even the Rafu Chayav. It was the halacha that you mentioned, that we did mention before, No, I think you're right. Meaning the halacha is in terms of bees,
no,
let's say. You're right. Okay. So no, it's all good. So I'm saying that the Chaver says in Sif Zayin that you're allowed to trap them. And now in Sif Yud, it's saying that if it's running after you, you're even allowed to kill them. So I'm not sure if that's necessarily a contradiction. It does say that if it's not running after you, can kill them lefitumo. Which is a very strange halacha. Like you kind of can kill them just like derech agav. You can't like, you know, do it as a statement. You just kind of like do it derech agav. I do think the post can distinguish again between siftes, where it's just a little bit annoying. We don't let you trap it. We don't let you kill it. Rather, we only let you trap it. A mosquito that's biting you, you can trap it or flick it off. You can't kill it. But an animal that's dangerous, you can even kill. Okay, so I think we're good. Is that right?
Meaning, so this category of animals, Nechashimakra, being things that are dangerous but not, are not going to kill you?
Yeah, you can even kill them if they're running after you.
And you can always
trap them. Yeah. You can even trap the more, the other category of mosquitoes if they're biting you.
Right. Let's talk about the Nechashimakra that are sitting on the other side of the room.
Right.
Why can't you kill them, but you can trap them?
Yes, I'm not sure about that. That's a good question. I think I mentioned that before. Did I mention that before? I hear what you're saying. You're saying that you have a nakash on the other side of the room. It's you're allowed to trap it. They're both Issa Rabbanan. What's the difference between trapping it? Yeah, I'm not 100% sure about that. So we'll need to have to get back to you on that.
If something non-dangerous is chasing after you, also kill it?
I mean, what do you mean? The dangerous? They're painful. Nechashim HaKarim are painful. They're not, you know, if a cow's running after you, you can't kill it.
A cow's not going to do it. You can't kill a cow running after you.
Why can you kill it? I mean, you mean like a bull?
Like a cow.
Cows are dangerous. I hear. Okay.
Cows killed my grandfather.
Really? Okay. So, again, most cows are tame, but I guess a bull is like...
He was trying to shoot that, but...
Right. Don't try to kill a cow. You try to kill it, it might kill you. I hear what you're saying. Interesting. Okay. I'm not 100% sure. they're supposed to be right that it's actually better to trap it than to kill it. It touches on this question you're raising. Why is that? Again, if a person is allergic to bees, it's just obvious, then of course he can kill the bee. Because then it's already like, the bee is like the lion, you know what I'm saying? But all things being equal, that's not the case. Okay. Yud Aleph lo yishav shei firaglav rok al gavi karka mishumash v'gumos v'amutu l'darso l'fi tumo she'enu v'chavin l'mareach l'hashos gumos. So once upon a time, most people's floors were not made out of tile or wood, but they were dirt. And there was this constant concern that people would want to somehow smooth over the floor because, you know, the floor is not so smooth. You put a little water, you make it smooth. The concern is if somebody spits on the floor and you want to like push the spit into the ground and like with your foot, so you're going to smooth the floor out. So it's mutter if you just walk on the spit. You're not trying to make smooth it out. You just don't want it to be there. You have guests coming, so you walk on it. But it's kind of like derech agav. Even though it happens, memela. Since it's disgusting, so this touches on a different malacha, mamareach, right? The issue of mash v'gumos is a question of bona. You want the floor to be even. Mamareach is a totally different malacha. We're familiar with it in terms of, you know, soaps and things like that. I think we mentioned in the past a few weeks ago. But here there's a fascinating discussion in the poskim where they say, the Machaber says that you're allowed to rub the dirt, the spit, saliva into the floor because it's me'isa. So what about me'mareach? So the Magen Avraham brings down, well, you don't want it gets absorbed. So from here, Rosh Hashanah thought that maybe you don't really need Shabbos, you know, spray sunscreen. Maybe you can use the regular sunscreen because it gets absorbed. It gets absorbed into the skin. But most poskim don't rely on that. And the reason for that is that when you put on sunscreen, you want a layer of sunscreen on your skin. And then it gets absorbed. But you want the layer to be there in order that the skin should absorb the sunscreen. Whereas here, you don't want the saliva at all. You have saliva, and you don't want it. So you want it to be absorbed. So you don't want it at all. Meaning the point is that if you want a thin layer, even for a minute, that's already memarech, because you want it to be there. It's not that you have to have a thin layer always. You want it to be there to serve a purpose, then it's already memarech. So when you use sunscreen, you want it to be on your skin for 5 minutes till it's absorbed, and then it'll be absorbed. But since you want it to be there as it absorbs, so that would be a malach of memarech. Whereas here, the saliva rather wasn't there at all. You just have to step on it to get rid of it, and therefore it's different. Yeah.
Isn't it easier to say that here the whole setup is that you're sort of like kind of accidentally.
It's b'di'evet, right. Yeah. The whole, you'd rather not in l'chatchila.
You're not even getting it from a Mariah conversation. Yeah, you're not like spreading something. I've got more about spreading something kind of like.
Yeah. That's certainly a more basic look. You're 100% right. Okay. But Rosh Hashanah thought not like that. He thought, you know, based on the Lashon of Avraham, that really Ikar HaDin is mutter to use creams that are absorbed. They don't always absorb. Sometimes, like a baby cream, you don't want it to be absorbed. You want it to like be sit on the to protect the skin. But many creams, you want them to be absorbed. Like, for instance, hand cream, they don't want to layer their hands have to be, you know, clean. So it gets absorbed.
Maybe some people
like that.
But most, no, but I'm saying I always get embarrassed that I have a thick. So I could use the cream if I don't. If I really don't. Trust me, I don't want it to stay on.
You want it
to
absorb. Right. So again, Rishon Zalman might say it's most to be granted, but I don't think the minhag is to, like, I can say Rishon Zalman is a Buddha, I'm not going to say it's usher, but Lamaisa, I don't think the minhag olam is to rely on that. Again, if a prisoner has unique circumstances, it's worth asking a shayla. I think that there's a sfar to say that. You know, again, the question is an alternative. Like sunscreen is an easy alternative. I don't know if there is. If there's no easy alternative,
so
if you don't have them, so then, you know, it's worth asking. You know, question?
No question.
Why is the sunscreen spray different? The spray is a liquid. Some of them are made by liquids. So the question is how to find a liquid or a solid, but just like liquid soap. So once it's a liquid, so we consider it not to be, there's no similar mark. Fine. Yud base. This is what we discussed earlier. If you have a domesticated animal, there's apparently three types of animals. There's like fully domesticated, there's semi-domesticated, and there's like wild animals. A semi-domesticated animal will leave the house, and they come back for dinner, meaning that like they kind of accept it. Your dog is going to come back as soon as you call it. It's not, you know. So like a cow, let's say, or a sheep, you know, they don't always, it's not like they have the same level of. But if the cow runs away, then takat's aser. Here's this big session in post game, like, can you tell a goy, your cow is like, you know, your car, and it ran away. Like, what are you going to do? You know, so can you tell a goy to do balacha, can maybe to trap it with drabanan, maybe he won't bring it into a confined area, he'll bring it into a larger area, so maybe I'll be mutter, etc. So he says if they're not accepting your authority, so you can't even do an Isser Rabban. Again, maybe they go away different, but you can't even bring them into the big chatzar. The Yishomim, the Asur, Latsur, Chai, V'Osher, V'Shuso, said the Ramah brings them Chumra. Maybe it should be Asur to have this middle category, the cows and the sheep, things that aren't Mekavel Maros. Yeah, I'm not sure, but I think most cows actually are Mekavel Maros. I'm not, I don't have a cow. But you know, if the animal that travels during the day, leaves during the day, then there would be Asur. That's the Chumra, the Ramah. It's Asur Drabanan. No, so I think that animals that live in people's homes, like, you know, if people have pets, most pets, maybe that's not true. I mean, I had birds when I was a kid. The birds didn't, you know, it was like totally. I remember once on Shabbos, they we had guests over and they like we hit the cage, it fell off. My mother, Allah Shalom, was like really upset because the birds were flying all over the place. And the question was, like, even trap them in a room, because trapping in a room is a drabana, like meaning they're already in the house. So like, do you say that in the? So I thought in the room would be the same as in the house, because you can't really catch them in the room either. Meaning, but anyway, it was complicated.
You just translate the end of the scene from the Bible. What does that mean exactly?
If the animals weren't born in captivity, shim lo gadlu bein v'nei adam hayutzichim
mitzuda. It's not im; it's shitim. It's the way that I've punctured it here is im chaser gadol. It's like all one sentence. Im chaser gadol shitim. Is that not right?
Hold on one second. Sh'achshav sh'niskadu bein v'nei adam ein tzrichim mitzuda ki yavo b'yasmal v'etam ha'erev. The Mishnah Berurah says nunvav. Kol makom kevish amardu einoach l'tavsam v'chatzar gadol mekli k'ein tzeid av aser midrabanu. So he's saying that if the animal is not really domesticated, so then it would still be an iser drabanu. Okay? Fine. So again, like the Ramah wants to say that even the middle category is aser drabanu. Well, part of it is, again, it's unfortunate, again, you don't need a cow, you just have to learn Shulchan Aruch. A para really is mekavel, you know, for instance, authority. V'chol shekein shar of v'chayesh shemardu imtzad v'chayim chatas. Sorry. A part of a sus, v'chol shekein shar chayim v'mardu imtzad v'chayim chatas v'chayim ikra, if you catch a wild cow, v'chayim chatas. Chatul, a cat. Dira k'shar chaya v'asol tavsa v'shabes.
What kind of cat? Sorry.
I mean, a wild cat. They tell you in Israel, there are a lot of wild cats. I mean, if you have a cat...
Like, their mean is still a domesticated animal. Right?
I'm not so sure. I mean, wild cats are different than... I mean,
stray cats. Like city stray cats.
Yeah, city cats. Stray cats are not... If you have a pet cat, so you know the cat from the time it was young, and you trained it, and, you know, potty trained it, whatever litter, whatever it's called. The animal is like, wants to come to you. He knows where his bread is buttered. He knows where to get, you know, so it's different. It's different. So this issue... like I said, it's very nogeya for young puppies and people training animals. So you go to a dog park with a puppy. So can you release it? So you certainly can release it, but can you catch it after? Because it's not mekavel maros. So how do you train a puppy? You can never let it out on Shabbos. I mean, you can put it on a leash and take it outside. That's okay. But like, you know, if you let it out in the dog park and you put it back on the leash, I would think not. You know, people have animals, have to deal with this. I once gave a shiur in my community about like halachas of animals. It's very nogeya. You know, tzad and muksa and other things we discussed this year. Also, other things came up this year in brachos. Know about eating before you feed your animals. Yeah. It's also halacha. It's a cute halacha that comes up. But yeah, there's lots to discuss. Okay, so your question? Let's continue with Simon Shin Yud Zayin, the halachas of kosher. Just the hakdama, two of the lamedes halachas are connected to tying and untying, kosher and matir, and they were done when they would try to catch the chilazon, they would have to make nets. And they would tie the nets, untie the nets, etc. Like many malachas, there's a din d'oraisa and there's a din d'rabbanan. What's interesting about kosher is there's also a heter gomor. Some malachas, like in a borer, could be heter gomor, could be isa d'oraisa. So kosher is like that also. You can have a kesher that's totally mutar, a kesher that's asur d'oraisa, you can have a kesher that's asur d'rabbanan. So what's a kesher that's asur min haTorah? So that's a machlokas rishonim. Some rishonim requires, right here in Sefalcha, I'll just speak it out to get the background, that it should be a kesher uman. It has to be a unique type of kesher, like a Boy Scout knot. Something that's very unique. And we're not exactly sure what these knots are, but that's only sheet of the Rif and the Rambam. Rashi holds all a function of how long the knot is tied for. If you tie it forever, again, forever doesn't have to mean forever. It might mean for more than a month or 6 months or a year. You're planning on leaving it there, that would be d'oraisa, according to Rashi, even if it wasn't a unique type of knot. For the Rambam, you need to have the requirement that it's not only kayama, that it's there for a long time, but it's also a unique type of kesher uman.
Is the one you said just unique? Just the professional uman?
The Rif of the Rambam says it has to be a kesher uman. And the Chara also has to be there for a long time. And Rashi says it's just a question of how long it's there. Now, there's still three categories. Let's say we work with Rashi. So Rashi holds the Raisa if it's there for, let's say, a year. The Rabbanan, it has a gomor if you untie it the same day. And there's like a middle amount of time. And what that middle amount of time is subject to debate. Some say more than 24 hours is asur drabanan, more than a week is asur drabanan, more than 3 days. There's a big machlokas. It's no clear hachra. The minhag gets to be machmir, not to tie any knot for more than a day. Out of concern, it's already, you're already touching on isur drabanan. So if you tie
the type of knot or lamaisa, how long you leave it?
There are two questions. You ask you good questions. Certain knots are excluded totally. Let's say a slip knot. It's not even a knot. So you can do that forever. But the type of knots that are usr, even if it's not a kesher uman, let's assume a double knot is usr. So you shouldn't do a double knot for more than 24 hours. Why? Because that would be a disur rabbanan, potentially. Now, the b'shas haskak, you can rely up to a week, because there is a machlokas, unresolved machlokas, where the heter moves to disur rabbanan. But in Rashi's world, let's take a step back, Rashi's world, there's three stages. There's heter, a very short amount of time. There's a medium amount of time, which is the drabanan, and there's a long time, which is the d'oraisa. In the world of the Rambam and the Rif, there are also three categories, but the iser drabanan is more broad. The iser drabanan would forbid making a kesher uman that you would undo that same day. Even if you undo it the same day, since it's a kesher uman, since there are two categories for the Rambam and the Rif, there's uman and the time, so if you have either one of the two components, it would be asur drabanan. So if I made a Boy Scout knot for a minute and undid it, it would be asur drabanan. And likewise, if you made a regular knot and lasted for a week, that would be also asur drabanan.
You only a regular knot that could have lasted for a week, and then you untied it 5 seconds later, would that also be asur?
Oh, so now you're touching on the question of your kavanah. How do you look at kavanah? This is very unique because what it's not is a knot. Who said this knot is the Kesher Shakayama or not? The person who knotted it. And what if he wasn't thinking about anything? He just made it. He was aimlessly tying knots. You know, how do you look at that? So that's a very, very important question. I think we'll discuss it later. Just a second. Here, I have a just right now for a minute. So let's say you tie a knot with intention to leaving it. So without intention of leaving it. And then you decide to leave it. So can you untie it now? Did it become a Kesher Shakayama by virtue of the fact that you changed your mind? When you tied it, you didn't think that way. So this is discussed in the postgame. Shlomo Zalman assumes that it becomes a Kesher Shakayama. Your subsequent intention to leave it makes it a Kesher Shakayama. Fascinating. What about the opposite? Let's say a person made a Kesher with intention to leave it. And now he decides that he wants to undo it before Shabbos. So here the postgame or Machmer say, no, you still cannot do it. Because since when you tied it, you know, we're going to go to Chumrah in both directions. In Makshavta Motzia, meaning Makshavta Rishona, meaning. Okay, so that's an interesting discussion. Obviously, you touched big sugyas. In terms of the basic lumsus of the halacha, I'll just mention it because it's actually Nogea the halacha. There is a question: is the issur of kosher is the issur of creating a knot, to create a knot, or is it to connect two things? When you knot two things together, you usually, unless it's a knot at the end of the rope, usually you connect things through a knot. You connect like two ropes together with a knot. So it's a halacha of connecting or a halacha of creating a knot. So this seems to be a machlokas rishonim. We might also touch on the issue I raised earlier, that if the malacha is one of creating a kesher uman, it's going to be more of creating a knot. Whereas supposed to, if it's a question of how time, it might be just a question of how long it's you're connecting. You're connected for a long time, it's connected for a short time. So this is a big discussion in the lumness of it.
Shoelace is not creation, but not connection.
Well, shoelace is it's only a single knot. It's a knot with a bow on top. So we're going to talk about that hopefully next time. It might not be, you know, it's a different gether. But if you make a double knot, let's say, that would be a knot. A double knot is a knot. The reason a single knot is a knot.
A creating type of knot, not a connecting type of knot.
Right. Sorry, I didn't say, yeah, okay. I should mention to Zerach Agav that the answer is not only to create a knot, but also to strengthen a knot. So sometimes like their tzitzis, like they're a little loose and people like tighten their tzitzis. So that would be, again, touches on the schakira, that if it's just to create, they haven't really created anything unless you see that's called you're creating something and you're strengthening it. On the contrary, meaning I think that might make more sense if you say it's an issue of creating, that, but in terms of connecting, it's already connected. Anyway, okay, so what to discuss. Fine, so again, we have the Shita of the Rambam, the Rif, the Lechaz Uman, we have the Shita of Rashi, and we have three categories. The Machlokas is just it. What's the Machlokas would be if you do a Kesher Uman for the same day. For the Rambam, it's a Rabbanan, and for the Rashi, it's no problem. Whatever you do, if it's the same day, it's okay. Fine, so let's now begin the Mechaver. Hopefully with that Haktam we'll be able to understand it a little better. HaKosher Keshel Kayam Hu Masa Uman. So the Mechaver passes like the Rif and the Ram. You need both requirements. It has to be a long time and it has to be a professional knot. Chayif, Kagon Keshel Gamalim, Keshel Safanim, Keshel Yitzuas, Minol, Vesanda, Shekoshim, Yitzanim, Mishash, Siyasan, Vechen Kol Sivya. Again, if you, I don't have a camel, but I guess if you have a camel, you want to put on some type of... the rein, I guess, is that what it's called. So you have to like tie it on to the ring around his nose. So you're not going to undo that. You need it's a very strong type of kasher, and it's going to last a long time, and therefore it's a dress. Aval kosher kasher shall kayama enu ma'ase uman pater. So if even if it's going to last forever, it's still pater. It's not a kasher uman. Rashi would disagree. Rashi would say that if it's forever, even if it's a regular knot, it's still a dress. And again, in this machlokas, it's also unresolved, and we try to be machlokas for both opinions. V'yesh chol ki v'spir lehu v'ramah kotz Rashi to chol kesher shakayam afilu shal hed yor chayavin olav. That if you make a regular double knot, if you do it for a long time, it would be an iser d'raisa. V'yesh omim shakol kesher inu ashtu hatir b'osu yom atzmo mikri kesher shakayam. So this is the question, like I said, in the second category. It's not so explicit here in the Ramah, but it's clear that the halakha, that we're talking about a separate category. This is d'raisa. Then there's the dindra banan of a medium amount of time, and that is the debate. Is it 24 hours, or is it 7 days, etc.? A kesher that's neither a unique kesher and it's going to be undone immediately or within that day is certainly, or within 1 day, within 7 days, if Shasat Chag would be permissible. The Indian Hatarasa, Dino Kamal, the Indian Kshiraso, the Ma points out that there's also a concept of Matir, the flip side that we mentioned earlier, and we have to discuss that. Fundamentally, whatever is kosher is sort of Matir, but there are some exceptions. We'll hopefully see that fully neder in the future. So it says the Mechaber, Keita, Nifsakal Ritzuva Kashra. A person had a Ritzuva that ripped, and you tied it. Nifsaka Chevel the Kashra. A person has, you know, a rope, and you made a knot in the rope, you tied it, the two halves together. Shakasa chemam betali, shakasa resin vehema. Right, the person has a well. So, how do you get the water up from the well? You use a rope to pull up the pail. So, you want it to be tied there. So, apparently, they would use a special type of knot, and it's something that's going to last a long time. You're not planning on undoing it anytime soon. Reza potter. Why is that? Why is it potter? Oh, maybe you don't use a special knot, I guess. You don't use a special knot. You use a regular double knot. So that's the mechaber. V'chol kesh ve'elu k'sharim she'im ha'is ha'hedet. Right, it's ha'is ha'hedet. V'chol adam kosher osam l'kayama. V'chol kesh ve'elu kayama, im kosher kesher umar har is aser. The mechaber says the flip side, if it's a unique kesher, a Boy Scout kesher, and you did it even for less than a day, still be isher rabbanim. So ach mitzvah k'gon she'kosher l'mdod echan mish'urei Torah mutal l'kshar kesher she'en ha'sha kayama. So we're going to come back to this a little later. I think it's okay, but this comes up for the Sefer Torah. Once upon a time, you know, when I was a kid, they didn't have like Velcro in the Sefer Torah. They had like a gartel, and you would like make a bow. So the question, pardon?
It's a very hard job.
It's a hard, yeah. You know, today you can give like, you know, the kid in first grade. Once upon a time, you have to know how to like bend over and make a bow. It wasn't so easy. But the issue was Shabbos Mincha. Because Shabbos Mincha, you make the bow. When do you undo it? It wasn't the next day. Usually it's Monday.
Right.
It's more than 24 hours. So the minute was we make them. Many people, there's machlokas about this. But some say, well, it's less than 7 days, and Sarach Mitzvah, you know. But there's a big discussion. I won't get back to that. V'yesh Omri says, the Ramah, V'yesh L'Sar Shem L'Hatir Shum Kesher Shu Shteik Sharim Zal Zeh. So what's a Kesher Umar? We don't really know. So there's a chumra from the Shulchan Aruch that says maybe every double knot is a kesher uman. That's a very, very big chiddush. Because what do you mean it's a kesher uman? It's a double knot. Everybody can make, you don't need an uman to make a double knot. But there's such a concern. The ein anu b'kim eizem mikri kesher shel uman afilu b'sheino shel kayama asur l'kasher v'kua din la'atira v'chino hagin. Right, to those of you living in Yerodea, ein anu b'kim. So we don't really know what knots are what. So okay, it could be I don't really know what you know a kesher gamalim is. But is a double knot a kesher gamalim? Probably not. But al fichin the Ravaz machmir v'cheinu hagim. Kol makom near the makom tsara. But since it's only a chumra, ein lachash umutani lahatira. So this comes up. A person, you know, sometimes their shoes get by accident, you get a double knot in your shoes. So you know you're not going to sleep in your shoes. So you're allowed to undo it. Here, there's more of a tzad lahatira because also you didn't have intention to make it in the first place. So getting back to your issue of intention, but okay, even if a person intended to, you know, the makom tsar, you're allowed to in lachush mutter. The inner is rabban or makom tsar gazer. How do I eat it? This is also a big question. Makom tsar gazer, is this something we apply across the board or not? But okay, let's not.
If you could kick off your shoe, would you want
to be hot? I don't think so. I mean, makom tsar, it's not comfortable for you. How are you going to put them back on? The Rama brings down that which we say with two, you have to connect two things. What if you make a knot at the end of your tzitzis? It's one knot, it's one string. You make a knot at the end of your tzitzis. So there, it's very strong. So there too is machmir. You shouldn't make a knot. It's like a double knot. Well, it's one knot. But it's very strong. Usually one knot is not strong because you pull it and it comes apart. Right? Like if you tie your shoes, you make a knot, then you make a bow. The knot, if you just didn't make a bow, it would open up in a second. So it says the Rama, if you make a knot at the end of your string, it's strong, and therefore it should be usher even one knot. So a lot of chumras here. There is a big question how to apply this. The Chazanish thought that this din of a double knot, because a double knot is a kesher uman, is really not mikra din. It sounds like that from the Rama also. This is v'chinu hagin. This is very relevant for women who wear mitpachot. Often you make a double knot on your mitpachot. So Shlomo Zalman said you can be mekel because nobody is going to. They don't make it tight. You don't do it tightly. You don't want to like. You know, the same thing with the. Let's say you have a belt. Sometimes they like a coat and there's like a belt. It doesn't really fit. So you have to like, kind of like, you know, make a knot at the end of the belt. So you're going to undo it, and you're not doing it so tight. You don't want to hurt yourself. So there are poskim who say the chashukas has its mutter. The minigas we make all baby carriers. They have that sometimes, like the baby carrier. Like you have to make a knot, you're gonna undo it. So there are rules we make.
Is it just a question of double mark. Like, even if it's not shofar, but that's a bare bottom.
It's double knot that you're going to take out. The only concern is if you're choshish for the Rambam, which the Shulchan Aruch passes like that, a double knot is, and you assume the double knot is a ma'isa umar. For Rashi, there's no concern at all. Because for Rashi, you're undoing whatever knot you do, you can undo the same day. But for the Rambam, you can't do a kesher umar even if you're going to undo it the same day. So how can a woman tie her with pachat? Maybe a double knot is a ma'isa umar. So we hold that the choshish, a double knot is a ma'isa umar, is like a chash. And it's like something like that where you're not going to do it tightly. Basically, part of the question is, I think, even if you say a double knot is a ma'aseh uman, if it's not even tight, then it's not a ma'aseh uman. Something like that. Okay. Fine. Let's do phase. Nishmat ulo ritzuas mino osando or shenishmat rof haregel. You know what, let's hold off. We'll be later, continue.